Let me again bid welcome to you and express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. There is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along as I present the lesson. I think a very practical lesson, one that you sometimes say, take it to heart. Danny says his prayer, take it with you. But the title of the lesson is, Can You Recommend Your Religion? Can you recommend your religion? Put in your notes, we make recommendations. Don't we recommend something? You might ask us, can you recommend a doctor? Or an auto mechanic? Or a restaurant? We want to just, can you recommend it? You'll give it a good review. So we're going to look at that, answer that question for us. And many people recommend their religion, but for the wrong reasons. They say, well, I recommend this place because it's close to the house. Or I recommend this place because of the music. Or the contemporary style of worship for some other reason. So what about you and what about me? Can we recommend our religion? I mentioned four things in your notes this morning. Number one, we're going to ask the question or answer it. Can you recommend your religion in light of the scriptures? Second, do you recommend your religion by the life that you live? A personal examination question. Then number three, can you recommend your religion by the way you support it in various ways? And then number four, by the way it works for you. That's an important one. I don't want to slight that one at all. So let's take a look at each one of these in turn. Number one, in light of the scriptures. So two questions might introduce this thought. First of all, can you prove your religion? And then second question would be, does God approve your religion? God cannot approve a religion that cannot be proved by His Word. See, some doctrines that are taught by religious groups are not found in God's Word. So we want to recommend our religion in light of God's Word. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, to examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. That you're in the faith. Prove it. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, to study, to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. He rightly divides the word of truth. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, to prove all things. Then you hold fast to that which is good. You proved it, hang on to it. In Acts 17, verse 11, says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, the Bereans were. In that, first of all, they received the word with all readiness of mind. Then it adds, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. So we want to make sure that what we are taught, whether it's by the Bible class teacher or me when I present the lesson, want to be sure that what you're listening to is from the Word of God. And you and I have the obligation that what we hear needs to be proven. I want to recommend what I believe in light of God's Word. And you too. We have plenty of warnings about the importance of this. If it's not important, why did Paul say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable. Right, what's the value of scripture? It's profitable for doctrine, for what you believe, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be acceptable in God's sight. The warnings are given by Jesus in Matthew 15, verse 8. that this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth. Oh, isn't that a good thing? They draw nigh to Jesus with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. But then Jesus adds, oh, their heart's far from me. And he explains it. Their heart's far from me. Oh, they've given me good lip service. But they in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And then Jesus adds in verse 15 of the text, every plant which my Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Oh, I don't want that. I want to be sure that what I believe, that the foundation upon which I stand, is based on the Word of God. In 2 John verse 9, it says, whoever transgresses and abides in the doctrine of Christ, right? Transgression, not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, has not God. What's the very thing we want, especially as a congregation, in presenting ourselves in worship to God? I want to be sure that I abide in the doctrine. The challenge of Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 31. Says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him. I'm thinking, that's a good thing. Jesus wants to say something to this congregation of Jews who believe on him. I'm thinking right now, they believe on him. Jesus is going to give them an attaboy. Jesus is going to give them some compliments, some words of praise. But the verse continues, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They already believed. Oh, wait a minute. That's not sufficient. I want you to continue in my word, and you'll be my disciple. So the question we're asking is, can you turn in the Bible and find the church of which you are a member? Can you turn in the Bible and find the name that you wear in your relationship to God? Can you turn in the Bible and find the manner in which you became a Christian? Can you turn in the Bible and find the manner in which you were baptized? Can you, in other words, can you recommend your religion in light of the Scriptures? There was an illustration. Story of Thomas, who was a disciple of Jesus, an apostle. Sometimes we call Thomas Doubting Thomas, but the Bible doesn't call him that. When it refers to Thomas called Didymus, it means he was a twin. Doesn't call him Doubting Thomas. It's called him Thomas. Jesus was meeting with the disciples following his resurrection. You remember the text that was read to us. And in John 20, verse 20, Jesus shows them his hands and his side. But verse 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with him. And later, when they meet with Thomas, they find him. In verse 25, it says, the other disciples said to Thomas, we've seen the Lord. Oh, but Thomas said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in the inside, I will not believe. Ah, good for you, Thomas. Good for you. I'm going, yay, Thomas. That's right, Thomas. You did exactly the right thing. The disciples came and said, we've seen the Christ. Okay, but I haven't. Not on that occasion. We saw the print. I didn't see it. We saw the side. I didn't see it. I don't know why he was absent on that meeting. But he didn't see the evidence that was presented to others. And he wasn't going to believe just anything. He wanted proof. And so now Thomas, you see, along with the others, had been warned by Jesus. In Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves." Thomas might have remembered that. Wait a minute, disciples. I remember what Jesus said to beware of false prophets. In Matthew 24 and verse 4, Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I'm the Christ,' and shall deceive many." Thomas, we have thought, I remember what Jesus said, disciples. There may be some that come in his name and shall deceive many. I'm not going to believe it until I see proof. Thomas wanted the same proof that the others had. So now it's 1 week later. And Jesus again meets with the disciples that was in the text read to us. Now Thomas is there. And so Jesus says, "Thomas," almost like front and center. In verse 27, "Reach here thy finger to hold my hand. And reach here thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Now Thomas has been presented with the evidence. And Thomas concludes in verse 28, "My Lord and my God." Now put in your notes, we want to be as cautious as Thomas. But also we need to be as yielding to the evidence. So let the Bible prove and let God approve your religion. Recommend your religion in light of God's word. When the evidence has been presented, be cautious but be yielding to the truth. Second, by the life you live. Now I'll hurry through these last three. I've already seen the time. But by the life you live. In Psalm 116, verse 12, I don't think I put that. In Psalm 116, verse 12, it said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all the benefits toward me?" Good question. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits? He answers the question in verse 17. A life of praise and thanksgiving. I want to recommend my religion by the way that I live. By the praise and thanksgiving that I give back to God for all of his benefits. So now we ask the question, take it personally, does my life or does your life and your religion complement each other? Does by the way you live make your religion attractive? Can you recommend your religion by the life that you live? See, Christianity is to be life-changing. It renders you and me a new creation. It's not a life of convenience, a life of conviction. Recommend your religion by the life that you live in praise and thanksgiving. Jesus pointed out to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 3, it says, "For they say and do not." So in other words, they talk a good religion. But Jesus said they don't act like it. Paul did the same thing in Titus chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "They profess that they know God, but by their works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." Oh, that's not a compliment. To say and not do. Can you recommend your religion and the life that you live? People are watching us 6 days a week to see if we really mean what we do on the first day. Here's the expression, practice what you preach. Walk the talk. Because I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. Well, they did that. Sometimes we need to hear a sermon too. But I want to see it. That's the point here. So we recommend our religion by the way that we live. Number three, by the way you support it. In Psalm 66, verse 16.
Put another one in my notes.
In Psalm 66, verse 16, come and hear, all that fear God, and I will declare what He's done for my soul. I want to recommend my religion. I want to declare what He's done for my soul in different ways. I want to tell you. I want to declare. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, Paul said, I believed, and therefore did I speak. In Psalm 107, verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, we're pretty quick to tell others when we've had an excellent experience somewhere. We went to a great restaurant. Let me tell you. Have you ever been there? No. He recommends. Saw a fine movie. You ought to go. We recommend things. You know, here's... You need gas money, here's a good price. Something. Tomorrow morning, if you work or go to work to a place, I don't know whether you've been on home work, but if you go to work, your co-worker is going to ask you, what did you do over the weekend? And you may tell them all the places you went, the sights that you saw. But my recommendation is also tell them that I went to worship on Sunday yesterday morning. Why don't you include that in what you did over the weekend? Great opportunity. You just asked me, what did you do over the weekend? Why stop at just the movie you saw or the sporting event or the destination? Why don't you tell them I went to worship yesterday morning? Great opening. I'm going to recommend my religion by the way I talk about it. Recommend it. By your time involvement, it's not much of a recommendation to say, well, I'm a member over here, but I don't go. That's not a recommendation. Oh, yeah. This is my church over there, but they don't know it. By your talents, by using your talents, recommend your religion, by the way you support it. By giving your treasure. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's right. Your heart will follow your treasure. In the last one, there's more to be said, but I need to press on. I want to be sure I mentioned this last one. By the way it works for you. By the way it works for you. In other words, does your religion give you something to hold on to in time of crisis? When things are not going so good, does your religion give you support? My faith. If I lost my job or my fortune, would I still hold on to my faith, my religion? When I'm down and out, or when I'm sad, what if I'm lonely? Does my religion, my faith, give me support? What about if others forsake me? Do I give up on my religion, my faith? It's not much of a recommendation. I'm sick. Mentioned our Bible class this morning, even announcements. About Brother Reyes having COVID at Corpus Christi. The first things out of his mouth, God is good. Leroy, you're in isolation. You have COVID. God is good. My religion is going to support me in a time of crisis. Well, now you make the personal application. My faith support me when I'm in trouble. It's not a good recommendation when trouble comes and you lose your faith. Wonder what others will think. Oh, I see you're going through some hard times. Yeah, wonder where God is in all of this. Oh, that's not a good recommendation. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that have been called together according to His purpose. So in times of crisis, that's this last point. Yes, I want to recommend my religion in light of the Scriptures. Oh, yes, I do. And I want to recommend my religion by the way that I live and the way I support it, but I want to especially recommend my religion when I'm in trouble. In Psalm 57, verse 1, it says, in the shadow of thy wings will I take refuge until these calamities pass by. Hear that again? In the shadow of thy wings I take refuge until these calamities pass by. I mean, I have a calamity, but I'm going to take refuge until this calamity passes by. I'm not giving up on my faith. Not at all. My faith, I want my faith to sustain me when the outcome is uncertain. When I don't know what's going to happen. I want to recommend my religion to others. When they see me in trouble, holding on to faith. Holding on. You don't belly up. You don't give up. You recommend your religion. It's not enough to have a creed that you uphold. I want you to have a creed that upholds you. So in conclusion, we ask him by way of invitation. So now is your forgiveness and you're becoming a Christian based on God's word. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. You're not a member of the New Testament church. Can you recommend your situation? If you're not a Christian, do you recommend that situation? Then, boy, everybody should not be a Christian. I don't recommend that. Want you to recommend your religion. The evidence has been presented. Be as cautious as Thomas, but be as yielding to the truth. You're not a member of the New Testament church. You've heard the word of God. Second, you need to believe it. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Come on down. Jesus also said, point number three, in this process of becoming a Christian, in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. And Philip teaches the Ethiopian, gives him a Jesus sermon, and the Ethiopian stops him and says, here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized. And Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he said, this is what I believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when those four things are in place, and as they were with that Ethiopian, Philip said, stop the chariot. Commanded the chariot to stand still. They both go down into the water, and Philip baptizes him. They come up out of the water, and Philip, an Ethiopian, goes on his way rejoicing. You've heard me say it so many times. Salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. Don't ever forsake that. And that's the invitation we extend. Remember, Jesus said to those Jews who believe on Him. Doesn't stop there. Continue in My word. You are My disciples, and you continue in My word. My disciples. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If you're subject to that invitation, why not submit to that invitation right now, this morning? Let's sing our song.